Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yumo Daf Mem Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur with the beginning of a new perek, the fifth perek of Yuma, perek Hosiulo. Before we begin the Mishnah, let us glance at the side under our Nosei, our topic heading, where we've written Kalim Shel Haktores VeChafinosa. We will discuss the vessels that are used in the context of the incense offering known as the Ktores, specifically the Yom Kippur Ktores, and we will also make reference to the action of taking the double hands full of incense that was taken into the Kodesh HaKodoshim. The Mishnah, Hotziu lo es hakaf ve'es hamachto. They brought out to the Kohen Gadol the kaf and the machto, names of two receptacles. Now, at this point, the kaf is a receptacle for the ktoras, for incense, and the word machto at this point, but this is going to change, but at this point, machto is thought to be associated with a coal receptacle. Chofan Moloi Chafonov Venosan Lusoy Hakaf. The Kohen Gadol took a chafino, a double hands full. He cups his two hands together and takes, in that fashion, he takes a hands full of incense and puts it into the kaf receptacle. Hagodol Lufi Godlo Vakoton Lufi Kotno. As far as the size of the hands of the Kohanim are concerned, so if it's a large individual, so his hands will be large, and if it's a smaller individual, so his hands are smaller. V'kach hoisa midasa. That's an expression that the Gemara will have to relate to. Notal es hamachto b'yamino ves hakaf b'smolo. Then he took the machto in his right hand and the kaf, which held the ktoras, in his left hand. The Gemara. Before we start the Gemara, we have on the side a subtopic heading, Tat Nosei. We call this a subtopic because, in effect, it's continuing with the theme established in the Mishnah of the vessels. And here, the subtopic reads, Machto Shehuzkar B'Mishnah, Hino Machto Malo Ktores Shemimenu Chofan. The machto mentioned in the Mishnah, we will discover shortly in the Gemara, is really not a coal receptacle. But in the meantime, when we turn back now to the Gemara asks, machto hotono li lei. As far as the machto is concerned, that we've learned already back on Daf Mem Gimel Amid Beis. And it's said there, notal es hamachto, v'ola l'roish hamizbech v'chotet v'yored. He took the machto pan, it's the name of a pan, he went to the top of the altar and dug into the fireplace, into the coals, and extracted from the fireplace coals for the ktores. After all, the incense was then placed on coals in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So those coals were extracted already. We already learned about that. V'yored means, and then he descends from the Mizbeach. So what is our Mishnah repeating the issue of the Machto again? The Gemara answers, there is no repeat over here. Hosam Machto de Gicholim. The source that we just quoted from Mem Gimel Amid Beis, that was the pan holding the coals. Hocha machto diktoras. This Mishnah is referring to a different machto, a machto holding the supply of incense from which he scooped out his double hands full of incense. Desanya hotziulo es hakaf reikon miglishka sakelim. This brisa elaborates on the Mishnah. The Mishnah simply mentioned hotziulo es hakaf es hamachto, but here we have a brisa which elaborates on the vessels, and it says they took out an empty kaf from the lishkas hakelim, the chamber holding the sacrificial vessels, umachto gedusha shel k'toras, and a heaping. Gedusha means a heaping, machto full of, the machto again is the receptacle holding the k'toras. The machto gedusha shel k'toras was a machto heaping with heaping full with incense. Milishkas base avtinas, and that was brought from the base avtinas chamber, the chamber in which the Torah was prepared. So there's no repetition. Our Mishnah, now we can go back to the first line of the Mishnah. It said, Hotzil Sakaf is Amachto. These are two vessels that are for the incense. The Kaf is an empty vessel. The Machto is the vessel full of incense, of Ktores. And he scooped out of the Machto, which held the Ktores supply, and he scooped out from the Machto a double handful and placed it in the Kaf. Chofan moloi chofonov v'nosein l'soy chakaf ha'godol l'fi godlo v'akotan l'fi kotno v'kacho iso midasa. That, as you can see, is a quote from the Mishnah. The Gemara asks, kaf b'yom ha'kipurim lomali, why is there a need for this kaf? Melo chofonov v'hevi, Omar Rachmona. The Pasuk says in Vayikra Tezayin Pasuk Yud Beis that he shall bring a double handful of Torah Samim Daka, that and Vehivi, and bring it in like that. The Mashmos, the implication of the Pasuk is that he brings in, while it's in his hands, the Torah. He brings that into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So from the Pasuk itself, it would appear that there is no need for a kaf, for a vessel to hold the incense. Now, before we go further and more, we should point out on the side our nosei, our topic heading. Hoychocha, we're now going to get involved with a proof, letzorech hakaf, to demonstrate that you have to have this kaf vessel, malo, k'toras, filled with the k'toras, lavos hak'toras, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, in order to bring the k'toras into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And under the Mivneh heading, which features the structure of the Gemara, a double underline will appear in the Gemara, which this is one of our series markings, and the words ne'ayol or nishkale will be highlighted. These represent hatsoos, suggestions, chilufios, alternative suggestions, lachnosas haktoras, the kodesh hakodoshim, in bringing the incense into the Holy of Holies, but shenidhu, these suggestions will be rejected. So in the meantime, the Gemara is asking, what do you need to have the kaf for? When you read the pasuk superficially, it seems that you bring in a double handsful as is, in the hands. So the Gemara responds, mishum deloy efsher. There is no way to bring the incense into the Holy of Holies without the assistance or the use of a vessel. Now you'll notice there's a bracketed section. Just let us skip the bracketed section for a minute, and you use the bracket length indicator to the side, and you come down to the line in the middle of which it says v'kevan d'lo efsher, and since, as we will have proven, that it's impossible otherwise, avdinon, we proceed, we act, k'da ashkechon b'nesiim, as you find in the Torah, when it came to the offerings of the Nesim, the heads of the tribes, it says in the Torah, Kaf Achas Maleok Torah. So you see a Kaf, it's the name of a vessel, in association with the Ktoras, with the incense. So there's the Nesim, we said these were the head of tribes, the Nesim precedent for a Kaf in the context of the Ktoras. Now, in the brackets, we go ahead and show how. And that's what our note by the star on the side of the Gemara says. Basogram Gemara Mochicha the Efshu Lahavi Agtoras Lekesh Kedoshim Bli Ezras Kli. The Gemara will show now how it's impossible to bring into the Kodesh Kedoshim the Ktoras without the assistance of a vessel. So the Gemara continues. Now we're going back to the beginning of the brackets. The Hechi Navid. What should we do? Nayel Vahadur Nayel. Should you bring in the Gecholim, the coals, first, and then go out of the Kodesh Kodashim to bring in a handful of incense? That's not an option. Havo achas omer rachmona velo shtei havos. Havo means the bringing in. One bringing and not two bringings. So you can't have the Kohen Gadol bringing the coals in as in one trip and then making another trip into the Kodesh Kodashim for the purpose of bringing in the hands full of incense. Well, the Gemara asks, but still, Nishkale Lekteres Bechofnov, let him take a handful of incense. V'nachte Lamachto de Gecholim Allah V'leil, and then let there be placed upon the handful of Keteres a pan holding the coals. So the coals will be in a pan, in effect sitting on the Keteres that's in his hands. So the Gemara says, okay, let's try that out. So that's going to, he'll have one bringing and as far as the previous problem is concerned, this would solve that. It's one trip with both at the same time. However, kimoti hasam hechilavid, when he gets into the Kodesh HaKodashim, what is he going to do? How is he going to get the pan of coals onto the ground while holding the hands full? His two hands are already occupied with holding the incense. So how's he going to get the pan of coals down onto the ground? Nishkale b'shinei v'nachte l'machto, should he take it with his teeth and with a certain amount of agility bend down holding the pan of coals in his teeth and place it on the ground? Well, that looks ridiculous. Hashta l'fnei melech Bosar v'dom ein oisin kein, mind you, now in the presence of an earthly mortal king, wouldn't act thusly. L'fnei melech malchei hamlochim hakodesh baruch hu alachas kamo v'kamo, in front of the Almighty here in his holy of holies, all the more so. Hilkoch lo efsher. So therefore, there is no other option of having one trip bringing both the coals and the double hands full quantity of Ketores into the Holy of Holies without the use of a kaf vessel for holding the Ketores. The kevon de lo efsher avdinon kedashchon benisian. Since there is no other option, so we do as we find a Torah precedent in the context of the offerings of the heads of the tribes using a kaf, and it held the Ketores. We continue with another quote from the Mishnah. Notal es hamachto biyamin ves hakaf b'smol. The Kohen Gadol would carry the coals in the machto, holding the pan in his right hand, and the kaf holding the ktores in the smol, the left hand. So the Gemara asks on this with a question in a tone of wonderment, using a common saying. Before we read the saying, the topic heading on the side reads the Nose Hakaf Kli Shel Ketores Tomid B'Smolo Shel Kohen Gadol B'Knisaso L'Kodesh Kodashim. The Kaf holding the Ketores will always be in the left hand of the Kohen Gadol. We're adding here this idea of always, and that will become clear in the Gemara why we're saying that particular point. And as we said, the Gemara is going to be asking, the right hand is generally speaking associated with that which is more important, more significant. Now, if you have to judge coals versus actual incense, which is more important? So one would say, obviously, the Ketores is more important than the coals. So why is the right hand being used for the lesser of the two items in terms of significance? And in order to convey that question, this phrase appears, Yetziva ba'ara v'giyora b'shmei shmaya. Yetziva is the, we'll call it the citizen, the person who is a citizen as opposed to an outsider or a stranger. The giyora is a reference to the stranger or he who is less significant. So how could it be that the Yetziva Ba'ara means on the ground, is down below, meaning in the left hand, even though the Torah says the Iker, it's the main thing, it's the Yitzifa, it's the citizen, it is the main person, or here's the main item, and the Giora, the stranger, the subsidiary thing, the item which is the subsidiary item is the coals. And that's Bishmei Shmaya's on high in the heavens is on high in terms of being in the more significant area in the right hand. So the Gemara answers, Zu Meruba Vazu Mu'etis. As far as quantity is concerned, there is a greater quantity of coals than there is Ktores, and therefore the heavier item, the greater quantity item, needs to be in the right hand, just out of practicality. And Vazu Mu'etis, the Ktores, is less in quantity. Afilu bizman shishnehem shovin ukemaisa de Rabbi Yishmael ben Kimchis. The location of each item, namely coals in right hand and ktoris in left hand, is to be the case under all circumstances, even in the unusual circumstance when they are equal in size. Now you might be asking, how can you have the same amount of ktoris as you would have coals? After all, the coals are much greater in quantity. So that would be the case if you have a Kohen Gadol who happens to have very large hands, which was the case where Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis was involved. Now, Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis, the mother's name of this Kohen Gadol was Kimchis. So Rabbi Shmuel, the son of this woman, his mother, whose name was Kimchis, was in fact that case. And Rashi adds that even though the amount of ktoris would be equal in his case, equal to the amount of coals, nevertheless, since the majority of Kohanim Gedolim, the Gecholim, would be much more than their hands full, the kaf holding the ktoris will be taken in the left hand, because that's what would be the normal situation. Of course, Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis being an exception, but the rule is not going to change. And now what we have is a long marking on the side where we indicate Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis Imoy. All of this section of Gemara, as is marked, is dedicated to these people. Omru alav al Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis. It was said regarding him, Shehoya choifen arbas kavin b'mlo chafonov. In his chafonov, in his double hands full, his cupped hands, there was a quantity of four kav of ktores. The omer kol hanoshim zordu, the zered imo ala lagag, and he would say that all noshim are zordu. Now this word is vague. The Gemara will explain it, and even after learning the Gemara, there will be some necessity of looking into the Meforshim. But whatever he's saying, he says that all women are represent zordu and the zered imo, but his mom's zered ala lagag is greater than all the rest. So what's this reference to zered? Ikal diamri ba'arson, that the word zered is associated with arson. And arson has to do with a type of, according to Rashi, a type of a dish of food that is made from wheat. So this food item called zardon or zered, according to this first version, the Ikar D'Amri that we've noted as Aleph, this version says it's zered is associated with this wheat dish, and based on Ukadarabo bar Yoinason, the Omar Rabo bar Yoinason Omar Rabbi Yechiel, Rabo bar Yoinason, in quoting Rabbi Yechiel, says that arson yofel lechola. Arson is a beneficial dish of food for the infirmed. And a woman who is pregnant is considered to be in a state of sickness, for lack of better expression. Maybe we'll say she's weak and she needs something to increase her strength. And the arson has a beneficial effect on the woman and her baby that she's carrying and the fetus that's developing within her. And therefore, what Rabbi Shmuel was saying, that my mother, when she was pregnant with me, ate the best quality arson, and hence I came out larger, more developed than the rest. The Ika, the Amri, another version of what he was saying when he said that Kol Hanoshim Zardu Vezeret Ima Olalagag is a reference to Beshichvas Zera. It is a reference to semen which contains the male contribution to the birth, gestation, and birth process. Now, in the teapot, in the fluid that comes from the man, so the Chazal, even before the development of microscopes, were aware that from that's what known as the teapot, the drop, or the fluid that comes from the man, only one very, very small portion of that actually results in the development of a child. So the reference to Zered in this context has to do, as Rashi says, has to do with the choice part. The choicest part. And in my mother's case, we'll say the best of the best was the one which caused my pregnancy. So, either way, the word Zered is a reference to something to do with the gestation period, the birthing process, the development of a newborn, and in his mother's case, it was the best of the best, either based on the food she ate or from the male fluid that is responsible for the development of the child. And this idea is seen in the following Uchda Rebbe Avo, based on Rebbe Avo's saying, the Rebbe Avo Rami. Rebbe Avo raises a seeming inconsistency in Psukim. Now, we're going to cite portions of Psukim from Shmuel Beis, Perichov Beis, and Tehillim, Perik Yud Ches. These are two chapters in the Nevi'im and Ksuvim, which are almost identical, and when you have a situation of two portions that are almost identical, the slight changes in words where there isn't exact repetition is that which arouses our interest. So that's the case over here, where in one pasuk it says, "Vatazreini chayel lemelchama," where David HaMelech says, "Vatazreini chayel lemelchama," uksiv hamazreini chayel lemelchama. So, now in the first word, "Vatazreini," as opposed to "hamazreini," "Vatazreini" is a lashon of zore. Zore has to do with choosing. So that will explain the pshat that we just gave before about the shichva zera, the semen of the man. From that is chosen just one small cell that develops the child. So there is the choosing, there was choosing, and then there is hame'azreni, is a lashon indicating strengthening. So Omar David Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribbono Shalom, Zirisoni V'Zeraztoni. I was from the choice drop, the choice part of the drop, and you strengthened me. The Tosfos Yeshanim says that the word Zeriztoni is a lotion of Zerizus, a lotion of diligence, and also could be understood in the context of strength. So David HaMelech declares that I was developed from a choice portion, and eventually I was strengthened into becoming what I was. And he was a warrior and great leader of the Jewish people. Omru Olav Al Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis. We now turn back to him, and we have triangles in this source which feature two incidents in which he is featured. Pam achas siper dvorim im aravi echod b'shuk. There was on one occasion that I was speaking with an Arab individual in the marketplace. V'nitzut sinura mipiv, and some spittle came from him and landed al begodov, and landed on his clothing. And we're understanding this in the context of an incident that took place on Yom Kippur. There was a discussion in the Mefarshim, how could that be, that on Yom Kippur he is out in the marketplace. So there are different explanations in the Mefarshim. We're not going to get into that now, but this took place, and there is a din that the spittle of a non-Jew conveys, on a rabbinic level, conveys tumah, conveys a sense of defilement. Not just a sense, but practically speaking, there is rabbinic defilement as a result, and now he cannot continue with his Yom Kippur service. V'nichnas Yeshevov Achiv, and his brother, Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchas, had a brother, his name was Yeshevov, who replaced him, v'shimesh tachtov, and served in his stead. V'rasa imon, and their mother, Kimchas, saw shnei kehanim gedolim b'yom echad. She saw two of her sons on one day occupying the office of Kohen Gadol. V'shuv amru alaval, Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchas, pam achas, was then told again about Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchas. On one occasion, yotzev v'siper im odoin echad b'shuk, he was speaking to some Odon is a master or landlord, a person of importance in the market. The Nitzot Sinur Mipiv Al Bugadov, and the same incident happened where some spittle landed on his clothing. The Nichnas Yosef Ochiv, the Shimesh Tachtov, and his brother Yosef replaced him. V'rasa Imon Shnei Kehanim Gedolim V'Yom Echad. And his mother saw two sons occupying the office of Kohen Gadol on one day. Tanu Rabbanan. Then we have another source that features their mother. Shiva Bonim Hoyu Lo L'Kimchas. Kimchas had seven sons. The Kulon Shimshu B'Kehuna Gadol. And all of them, at one point or another, occupied the office of Kohen Gadol. Omru Lo Chachamet Ma Osis Shezochis L'Kach. What did you do that enabled you to have this merit? Omro lohem, and she told them, miyomai, in all my days, lo ro'u kuros besi kale sari. The beams of my house never saw the braids of my hair. In simpler terms, she practiced extreme modesty. I might say modesty that's way beyond the actual halachic expectations of a woman and her behavior. She had her hair covered at all times so that the walls and the beams of her house never saw her exposed hair. So she was saying that in the merit of her extreme modesty, she had these children that all at some point or another occupied the office of Kohen Gadol. Omru la, the rabbis, upon hearing this, responded, Harve Asu Kein Velo Ho'ilu. There were many other women that practiced this type of modesty, and it didn't have that benefit for them. So they left this as a question mark, so to speak, with regard to her appraisal of the situation. Tanu Rabbanan. And we go back to the laws concerning hands full of items. Here we're going to be talking about a singular hand full of meal offering, which is known as the kometz. And on the side of the Gemara, we have a nosea topic heading, Mahu Shiase Kli, or Mida L'Chafina. The question that the Gemara will be occupied with, can you make a vessel for the Chafina? In other words, instead of scooping up with your hands a double hands full, have a vessel that holds that amount and use it for scooping up the incense from the machda, from the supply vessel. So the Gemara opens up with a source quoting a pasuk from Vayikra Perek Vav Pasuches, which deals with a meal offering. And it says, Bekumtso, in his hand. Kometz is a hands full of, in this case, meal offering. And we learn from this, Shelo yase mido lo kometz. He shouldn't make a measure, a vessel, holding the measure of his handful. so that when he takes, when the Kohen who is offering a meal offering, when he takes the meal offering, there is a bowl containing, we'll say there's flour contained in the bowl, and he takes with his bare hands a singular handful of flour, which is called the kometz. The rest that's left behind, the Kohen eats that, and the handful is offered on the altar. And we're taught here that he takes the handful literally in his hand and brings it up to the altar, and he doesn't use a vessel for that purpose. The question is raised, what about making a vessel holding the same measure as his, in this case, the Kohen Gadol's, hands full? So the question is presented in the Aleph O'Dilma fashion, the A or B, so to speak. Do you say this or O'Dilma? The next line, O'Dilma is squiggle underline, the other side, the two sides of the question. Hasam hu dichtiv bekumtzo. In the case of the meal offering, so the Torah uses the word bekumtzo, means in his hand, which is mashma, which implies hand, to the exclusion of a vessel. Aval hocha delo ksiv bichafonov, ela melo chafonov ktora samendako. And with regard to the Yom Kippur hands full of incense, it doesn't say bichafonov, in his hands full. It says rather melo chafonov, a hands full quantity of ktores, of ktores samendaka means finely ground incense. So we would say they're low, meaning there's no hakpoda, there's no insistence like you have by the meal offering. In the case of the meal offering, we're insistent on literally the hand being filled. And when it comes to the chafina, it doesn't say, you don't have a similar grammatic expression, namely bichafonov. Oy dilma yolif maloi maloi mi kumso, or possibly I will limit the Kohen Gadol to his hands full literally and not a vessel with that same capacity. Why? Because I have a word comparison, exera shava, using the word malo. Because in the case of the chafina, in another posuk, you find the word malo. And that being the case, then I would compare one to the other, the chafina to the kmitza. So the Gemara says, the toshma, the kach hoisa midosa. That's a quote from our Mishnah. And you can see we have a little arrow to the side of the Gemara text showing you, if you align this with the previous arrow, where this quote comes from. Now, it said, the kach hoisa midosa, in the context of the chafina, my love, does this not mean shimrotzalasus mida oise, that if he wants to make a vessel holding that quantity of his hands full, he can make a vessel and use that for scooping out the ktores? This is low. That's not the explanation of the Mishnah. Hochi koma, rather, the Mishnah is saying thusly, v'kachoya choizer v'chofno lifnim. Meaning, just like he scooped out a double handful while standing in the temple courtyard, when he gets into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he's got to have his hands full once again with the ketores, which would mean that after he scooped in the, while in the courtyard, he scooped out a handful of ketores, placed it in the kaf vessel. When in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he's got to get the ketores out of the kaf vessel back into his back into his hands. In other words, his hands have to be filled again with ketores as they were previously while in the courtyard. So the Gemara says, oh, if that's the pshat in the Mishnah, if that's the explanation, then shall we not conclude an issue that was a question? Shamis mino, should we not then conclude choifein v'chozer v'chofein? And this, by the way, is an issue that's raised and is not settled with clarity. So maybe from here we should conclude, in fact, there is a second filling up of the hands full in the Kodesh HaKodashim. So the Gemara says, no, Dilma, maybe the Pshat in the Mishnah is really like we said before, Shim Rotzo Lasos Mida Oise. What we're experiencing right now is a ping pong situation where the Gemara is not reaching any clear conclusion, not on this issue nor on that issue. So when the Gemara says that if you're going to suggest the pshat is of kachoy sumidasa, that he is chozer v'chofen b'fnim, well then, in other words, and we should conclude the issue of choyfein v'chozer v'chofen, no, the Gemara says, we're not going to conclude that. Maybe what it says, the kachoy sumidasa, means that if he wants to make a vessel that would hold the hands full, he could do that. Inami, another explanation of what the kachoy sumidasa would mean, Shelo yechsar velo yosir, that thusly is its quantity, a warning or an insistence on the part of the halacha that he should not lose the lo yechsar. There shouldn't be any less and there shouldn't be any more than the double hands full. So we have the two issues were raised in the last couple lines, and we were attempting to show that the Mishnah, when it says v'kachoy semidosa, might settle one of these issues. So we're concluding with no, the Mishnah doesn't settle this one or that one, namely the question of making a midah for the chafina or the issue of choyfein v'chozer v'chofein. Tanu Rabbanan, we have a Tanaic source. And this source, as you can see, continues a number of lines down Omid Beis. Before we learn the Gemara, we glance at the side under our Nosei, our topic heading, where we've written Prote Dinim, details the Inyan Kemetz Shel Menachas, regarding the taking of a handful of a meal offering. But Omid Beis, HaGemara Todun BeProtim Shel Chafinas HaKtores. On Omid Beis, the Gemara will deal with details concerning the taking of a hands full of incense. In the Gemara today, we have to be on our toes, and we might make mention of this later on, to remind everyone that in this Daf Mem Zayin, and we'll also encounter this on Daf Mem Ches, the Gemara will be flipping back and forth between the issue of a meal offering, which involves a singular handful of material, and that's called the kometz, it's a handful of meal offering, and the chafina, the double handful of incense used on taken on Yom Kippur. Two topics interwoven, so each time the Gemara makes reference to something, let's have to be on our toes, not to confuse the topics. So the source begins, Tonu Rabbanan, Malo Kumtso. That's a quote from the Pasuk. A hands full, one handful of meal offering. Yochol Mevurats, when it says Malo Kumtso, does that mean that even if there is a flour or some types of meal offering are actually baked goods that are crumbled up? Does that mean that even if it's mevurats, means it's sticking out from all sides, that that's also part of the handful? Tamad lomar bikumtso. And the other pasuk says bikumtso means that which is inside and not sticking out. Well, e bikumtso, so if we're medaktek, and we're being like very precise with the reading, so then yochol afilu b'roshei etzbosav, does that mean that when he takes his handful he should curl his fingers over so that the tips of his fingers are clenched within the palm of his hand, which would result in very little meal offering really being within that handful because he is clenching his fingertips within his palm? So only the quantity of meal offering of flour that would enter that amount of hand space would be legitimate. So is that the way it's to be done? because the word we just saw a moment ago, bekumtso, was excluding that which is sticking out. So maybe what the Torah wants is me to take as little as possible. Talmud lomar melo kumtso. Well, to counter that, the Torah also says a full amount in your hand. Kidekamtsi inshi. As people scoop up hands full. Ha ketzad. Well, how is that done? Chofesh shalosh etzbosav al pisas yodo v'kometz. We're going to be speaking about the amount contained within his middle three fingers. The thumb is going to be used to smooth out the handful, but it's not, the thumb isn't going to be used to increase the quantity or the capacity. Likewise, the little finger, the pinky, is not going to be used to contain the meal offering, the handful, but rather to smooth out the bottom of the handful. So we're left with three middle fingers. So what he does is he will scoop out of a bowl of flour or other meal offering, he'll scoop out of that a handful, as people ordinarily scoop things out. That's kidekamtsi inshi. And it involves his bending his three fingers where the ends of his fingers, and we're not talking about the fingertips, but the upper part of his finger is over the base of his hand, over the palm of his hand, and as they are positioned that way, bent over, but not clenching his palm yet, he scoops up flour within those three fingers. That's what the bottom line said. Choife, that's to, like the word chupa, a covering, where the finger, the ends of his fingers cover the pisas yada, the palm of his hand. The komets, and he scoops out from the bowl of flour in that fashion. We continue at the top of Omid Beis, Uva Machvas, Uva Marcheshes. These are baked meal offerings, they're baked goods. The Machvas and Marcheshes, different types of pans in which the baking takes place, so that when the handful is taken, what really happens is that these loaves, after they're baked, are then broken down into smaller pieces, and then once you have a bowl of the smaller pieces where the original loaf was broken down, he then takes a handful of that, and since we're talking about pieces, there's going to be some sticking above his handful and some sticking below. So that's what the source says, mochek begudlo mila malo uvezbo ketano mi lemato. And with his clenched handful, he then uses his thumb to smooth out or level that which is on the top of his clenched handful, and his pinky to smooth out, it will be used to cut away, chip away any baked good that's sticking out from below his handful. The zuhi, and we have a bracket, just skip them initially. The zuhi me avodos kosher shebemikdash. This action of smoothing out a handful of machvas or marcheshes type meal offering is one of the most difficult actions done in the Beis Hamikdash. What we did is we skipped a section of source which contains a lashon version which is not accurate. So now we go back and read the bracketed section with the accompanying question. It says, we go back to the second line from the top, right before the brackets it said vizuhi, and now we read the brackets, avoda kosher shebemikdash. This was the most difficult action done in the Beis Hamikdash. So the Gemara asks, zuhi vesulo, are you saying this is the most difficult and there's nothing else that equals it? Vo'ika malika, vo'ika chafina, is there not the process of Malika. Malika has to do with a bird offering and the method in which it was slaughtered. And without getting into any details, the slaughtering method of a bird offering known as Malika was a very difficult thing to execute. And if you like the pun, then take it for all it's worth. Then v'ha ika chafina. There's also the execution, the carrying out of the chafina, which in the Kodesh HaKadoshim will work with the assumption that after he brings the kaf full of ketores into the Holy of Holies, he has to then get the contents of that kaf back into his double hands, his hands full, his cupped hands. Well, without the use of your teeth, for example, how are you going to do that? Well, it's the Gemara explains later how it's done, but it's very difficult to do. So we see that in addition to the kmitza and the that we mentioned, the leveling off of the handful, there was also malika and chafina. So why do you say that this was the most difficult avoda? Ella, the correct version is zuhi me'avodos koshos shebe mikdash, one of the most difficult of the Beis HaMikdash activities. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice some markings, and on the side of the Gemara under our Nosei Mivneh heading, you'll see a bow tie appears. And first take a survey overview of the page itself, so you see the term Bein HaBeinayim in a bow tie here, and lower down on the page you'll notice again Bein HaBeinayim. So on the side of the Gemara we've written Bein HaBeinayim Shel Kometz V'Chafina. So Bein HaBeinayim, if we look at the Rashi, he says Bein HaBeinayim HaNichnas Bein HaEtzbois Mahu Kometz Mahu Kometz Hein Oy Shirayim Hein. The flower that gets stuck between the fingers of a handful of komet, of the handful in the komet's sense, is that considered part of the komets and would be put in the fire of the mizbeach, or is it shirayim? Is it something that's left over? It's not considered part of the actual handful. It's shirayim. It's the balance. It's the leftover. Just happens right now to be between his fingers, but it's something that the kohanim should be eating. So the issue of Bein HaBeinayim, substance between the fingers, comes up in the context of the Kometz, and later on the page in the context of the Chafina. The double underline is used to highlight the name Rabbi Yeshua ben Uzza'ah. What we'll see in the Gemara is Rabbi Yeshua ben Uzza'ah raises a question, and then he himself answers the question, or responds to the question. The Gemara. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Boy Rabbi Yeshua ben Uzza'ah, Bein HaBeinayim, Shel Maloi Kumtso Mahu. What's the legal status of the flour or meal offering stuck between the Kohen's fingers? And we have a note on the side where there's a star, a singular starred note, and it reads, "Achreya sograim haGemara noisenes hatshuva laSheila." After the brackets, the Gemara will give an answer. The socha sograim of Papa mechadeid es haShel. Within the brackets, there's a sharpening of the question. But being that we know what the basic question is, we skip the brackets for a minute. And we read Omer Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan reports, Hoder poshte Rabbi Yeshua ben Uzza'ah. Rabbi Yeshua then answered, Bein HaBeinayim Sofek Ninhu. That the identity, the halachic status of that which is between the fingers is an issue of doubt, is a Sofek. Let's go back a few lines where we had brackets. Omer of Papa. Rav Papa points out, "De gavoi lo tibay aloch, de vavai kometzu." That which is contained within the fingers, that's clearly the kometz. That's the handful that has to be placed on the mizbeach. "De baroi lo tibay aloch." That which is sticking out beyond his fingers. Borei means outside. That was also not a question. Devadai shirayim. Who? That is definitely shirayim. Is definitely to be eaten by the kohanim. Shirayim literally is that which is left over. It means that which is left over after the handful was taken. But that which is baroi, that's sticking out of his handful, is clearly not the handful. It's rather shirayim. And that's not an ish, not a question even. Kiti ba'aloch debeini beini mai. My question is, or is the question that Rabbi Yeshua ben Uzal is raising, is what about between the fingers? I mean, it's next to each finger. That which is between the fingers. What status does that flower have? Om Rabbi Yochanan, Hadar Pashta, Rabbi Yeshua ben Uzal. Then Rabbi Yeshua ben Uzal answered, Bein Abinayim Sofek Ninhu. That which is between the fingers has the status of something that is a Sofek. As you can see, we have another bracketed section, and on the side there's a starred note, with a star with a circle around it. Achrei sugrayim, Rav Papa male oid shelo binyan bein habinayim. After the brackets, Rav Papa raises another question regarding bein habinayim. Pesach sugrayim, Hagemara dono beech maktirim hani bein habinayim. Achrei shamata shehem begeder sofek. Within the brackets, the Gemara will deal with how do you deal with the issue of Bein HaBinayim once you tell me that it is a Sofek. So the Gemara, you'll see, has a back and forth style, and the diamonds are used to illustrate that, with the tip of the diamond, the upper tip colored in, that represents a solution, a Pitaron, and the inverted coloring scheme, where the bottom tip is colored, is a kusha, a difficulty, a question that's raised. Well, we continue now with the bracketed section, and also note that after the question of two words, Hechi Ovid, what should he do? The answer is forthcoming. The answer is a long answer, as we've marked it off. Omar Rabbi Chanina, Maktir koimetz lechudei tchila, v'hodar bein habinayim. Before we continue, just note the marking scheme, the diamond with the colored in tips. The upper part represents a solution, and the inverted or the bottom colored in represents a kushya, a difficulty. So Rabbi Chanina says the solution is offer the interior part of the handful, the kometz by itself, put that in the fire, and then the material that's between the fingers, that you offer, you put in the fire afterwards, by itself. De'i amris bein habinayim bereisha, if you were to put in the fire the area, the flower stuck between the fingers first, well, Dilma Shirayim Ninhu, maybe that is Shirayim. It's not to be put. Remember, we're in a doubt, a suffix. So maybe that's classified as Shirayim. And if it is, we have a mincha-related problem. V'havaluhu shirayim shechosru bein kamitza lahaktorah. That would represent a case of shirayim, of a balance of the mincha that became diminished, in this case by being placed in the fire, the shirayim becoming diminished between the act of the kmitza and the subsequent act of burning. So that we can't have a situation that between the kmitza and the offering of the kmitza that there should be any diminishing in the shirayim. And if, therefore, he would, after scooping up the handful, if he would first offer the flour between the fingers, so you have the flour between the fingers that might be shirayim being put in the fire, and hence diminishing the shirayim total quantity between the handful taking and the burning of the handful. the Omar, and it has been said, Shirayim Shechosu Ben Kmitza Lag Torah, in a meal offering where the Shirayim becomes diminished between the taking of the handful and the offering of the handful, Ein Maktirin Alein Es HaKometz. You don't proceed further, you don't then offer the Kometz itself. So that is not an option. In other words, the idea of putting the Bein HaBinayim in the fire before the Kometz isn't an option. So, okay, so then what did we say? We said put the handful in the fire and then put the area between the fingers second into the fire? That's not an option either, and this is a question. Ihochi hashto nami. Well, if so, then now what you are suggesting, to offer the Kometz at first, Ikri Khan, I would refer to this, the following. There's a rule that's based on a pasuk, and the rule says, Kol shemimenu la'ishim, any sacrifice from which the fire portion has been offered, the balance, harehu bebal taktir, whatever's left over, is forbidden to be put into the fire. So that in a standard meal offering, we know that the handful is placed in the fire. That which is left over is called the shirayim. Once the fire section has been offered, whatever is left is not to be put into the fire. So that if you make the assumption that the stuff between the fingers is shirayim, it cannot be put into the fire whatsoever. Because of this rule that we just read, Kol Shemimenu Le'ishim, Harehu Bebak Taktir, and we said that's based on the Pasuk. So how do we deal with this? Once again, we've got a handful, and we've got meal matter, we've got flour between the fingers. What are we to do with it? Omar Reb Yehuda, Braid Reb Shimon Ben Pasi, Demaktir Lei Lishum Eitzim, Kerebi Eliezer. You will put the Bein HaBinayim into the fire after having placed the Kometz into the fire. You'll place the Bein HaBinayim, the stuff between the fingers, in the fire, but you put it as Eitzim, as fuel. In other words, offer it, put it in the fire. You're not going to eat it because maybe it's real Kometz. Maybe it has Kometz status. On the other hand, you're not going to burn it as if it's Kometz, maybe it's Shirayim. So the solution is, put it into the fire as if it were fuel. And if we look in the Rashi, Rashi gives background to this din of Rebbe Eliezer. And we look in the Rashi, Dibur Maschil, Demaktir Lei Lishum Eitzim. Demasne. Masne means he makes a condition, the Omer. And he says, Ish Shirayim Ninhu, if this Bein HaBinayim is in fact Shirayim, it's not part of the original Kometz, Hare Hein Kishar Eitzim, then I'm putting it in the fire as if it was fuel. Rashi goes on, Kerebi Lezer, De Polig Maseches Zvochim, Ve'evore Chatos, Shein Shirayim, Me'achar Shehukdiru Emurim, a sin offering, an animal sin offering. When you have an animal sin offering, the innards of that are placed in the fire. That's what you're maktir. The limbs of the animal is something to be eaten by the kohanim. Let us say you have a vorim, the limbs of an animal, which are the shirayim, it's the leftover, it's the balance, after the emurim, the innards, have been offered. But those limbs, the nisarvu bevore chatos, bevore olo shein kolil. The chatos limbs, which are eaten, got mixed up with limbs of an olo korban, which are to be burnt completely in the fire. So now I have a mixture of limbs. What am I to do with this? You've got the Ola limbs that are in this mixture. They should be put in the fire. You've got the Chatas limbs, which are Shirayim. They're not to be put in the fire. And I have now this mixture. Rebbe Elezer Omer. Rashi goes on. Rabbi Elazar says, "Yitein hakol lemalo, put it all up there in the fire." V'roya ani es besar chatos lemalo kiilu hein etzim, and I will view the chatos limbs as if it's fuel. V'olif taimo mehai kraw. The basis for this is learned from the posuk in Vayikra Perek Beis, posuk Yud Beis, and the posuk says, Korban reishis takrivu oisom lashem, ve'el hamizbeach lo ya'alu, l'reach nichoyach. And that's what Rashi quotes, where he says, ve'el hamizbeach lo ya'alu. And that posuk, basrei, dahai kro, lo saktiru mimenu ksiv. The posuk had said in Vayikra Beis, posuk Yud Aleph, we had the pasuk that we cited earlier of we said kol shemimenu lishem harehu babal taktiru. The pasuk said kol hamincha shir takrivu l'Hashem, and we're reading pasuk Yud Aleph. All the minochas that you offer to Hashem, lo seoseh chometz, you're not allowed to make them in a chometz fashion. Ki chol sor v'chol dvash lo saktiru mimenu ishe l'Hashem. And there you have the quote that was the basis of the original halacha of kol shemimenu l'ishem lo saktiru mimenu ishe l'Hashem. So the Rabbi Elazar is saying that you're not allowed to offer the shirayim as a sacrifice, because a sacrifice is that which is placed in the fire. The balance is called the shirayim of the sacrifice. So Pasuk Yud Beis goes on to explain that when is it a prohibition? That's when it's being offered as reach nichoach, as a sense of pleasure, so to speak, to the Almighty. However, if it's being put in the fire not as reach nichoach, but rather it's put in the fire as fuel, that's okay. So we go back into our Gemara, and the answer to the question which was raised, how can you place the Bein HaBinayim in the fire after the Kometz, when that would be a violation of Kol Shemimenu Li'ishim Arehu V'Bal Taktiru? So we saw Rabbi Yehuda saying, put it in the fire as fuel, and then you're not violating the Kol Shemimenu Li'ishim Harei B'Bak Taktiru restriction. And this is like Rabbi Elazar teaches, Desanyo, Rabbi Elazar Omer, we're back in the Gemara in the frame Tanaic source. Rabbi Elazar says, L'Reach Nichoach I Atomale, you're not allowed to offer it as Reach Nichoach, which is that which is a source of pleasure for the Almighty, so to speak. That's what is not to be done with Shirayim. Don't offer it as Reach Nichoach, Havalato Male L'Shemeitzim. But you can put that in the fire if you're putting it with fuel intention as opposed to Reach Nichoach intention. The Gemara says, that's a great solution, but ha'nichol Rebbe Lezer. That's if you accept Rebbe Lezer's teaching. Elo l'rabbonon mai ikol l'meimah. The Rabbonon disagree with Rebbe Lezer. Rebbe Lezer spoke about the case of the ola limbs and the chatos limbs getting mixed up. So Rebbe Lezer had his creative solution, but the Rabbonon don't agree with that. So then what are we to do with the Bein HaBeinayim? Answer, Omar Rav Mori, Dekamtzi Shmeini. You get Kohanim that are Shmeini, that are fat, corpulent, obese Kohanim, their fingers will be, relative to thin people, their fingers are swollen and are puffy, so that there is no space between the fingers, that when they scoop up a handful, and their fingers are clenched to one another, there is no gap between the fingers, and hence there is no problem of Bein HaBeinayim to begin with. So that here you have, even though many may look askance on upon fat people, but here you have a positive role for the obese to fulfill. Their hands being specifically their fingers being fat, there will be no space or gaps between them, and hence there's no Beina Beinayim. And the Gemara, upon hearing Rav Mori's answer, says, Hashtodosus Lochi, now that we've come up with this solution, Rabbi Lezer Nami, as far as the Tana Rabbi Lezer that we cited before of putting it in with a fuel intention, L'chatchilo, the best choice is the Kamsi Shmeini, have Kohanim that are fat, that handle the Kamitza, the meal offerings, thereby avoiding the problem in the first place. Namely, even Rabbi Eliezer, who recommended the fuel intention solution, that's only as a second choice. But if you've got Kehanim Shmeinim, that's a first choice. As we go on in the Gemara, we have in the parentheses a simen for the topics that will be coming up. A simen is a type of mnemonic device or a short one-word introduction to the upcoming section of Gemara. So it reads, Bein ha-Binayim, Poshat u-Mochatz u-Pozar v'choshav b'chafinas chaviro simen. Each one of these words will have more meaning as we go on in the Gemara. And we have a new marking scheme. The triangle is now going to be used, and on the side under the Nosei Mivne heading, we have a note that this goes until Mem Tes Omen Aleph. The triangles will appear. Shelos Rabois, there are a number of questions. Rubam Shel Rav Papa, most of them are asked by Rav Papa, B'Nosei Avodas Akamitza V'Chafina, regarding the issues of the handful of a meal offering and the double hands full of a of the incense of Yom Kippur. Boy Rav Papa, Bein HaBeinayim Shel Maloi Chafonov Mahu. What is the status of the incense that's between the fingers of the Kohen Gadol? And you see that we have a bracketed section. And after the brackets, the question is presented in a fuller sense, the two parts of the question. Within the brackets, though, the Gemara is asking, why are you raising the question in the first place? So let's now go over the Gemara in the brackets. My komi boyale, what is Rav Papa asking? E gomar moloi moloi mehasam, if he accepts a gzera shava, using the word moloi, from the topic of the komets, of the meal offering, well then, hainu hach, then just like the issue of Bein HaMidayim was discussed with regard to the komets, the same question will be, the same approach will apply to the Bein HaBeinayim of the Moloi Chafonov. There would be no need for asking the question in a separate fashion with regard to the Chafina when the issue was dealt with already by the Kometz. So why is Rav Papa asking the question again? Rav Papa Hochi Boilei. Rav Papa is asking thusly. And Rashi explains that this question can be asked even without saying, whereas even if you do hold, let's say, this gezeira shava malo malo, there's still room for asking the question in the context of the chafina. And you could see that Rashi deals with this at the first wide line under the Gemara, Boy Rav Popo, Rapapa Hochi Boy Laha, below Gezerah Shav the Malo Malo, Ikon Lebaya Laha. That means without the Gezerah Shava of Malo Malo, there's still room for asking this question. Inami Lomaisi Bechafonov, Legabi Chafino, Kemo Bekumtso, Gabi Kemitso, Afilochi Yesh Svora Les or Bein HaBeinayim. Avalahid liel lasos mido lachafino leko lemivi elom exera shava. The issue of making a measure for the chafina would be a question only if you have the exera shava of malo malo. However, the issue here is something else. the Mivelotach, as far as the psukim that will be quoted shortly in the Gemara, Velokach is in Vayikra, Perek, Tezai, and Posuk Yud Beis, Lo Sham Inon, Shelo Yase Mido Lechafina. The Lekichai Dei Dover Achir Shmo Lekicho Mesach Sukkah. As far as, let us say, a prohibition of making a vessel for the Chafina, that I wouldn't learn from the Velokach Posuk. So now we go back to the Gemara, recognizing that the question of Bein HaBeinayim of the Malocha Fonov is a question that is an independent question from the question of Malo of Bein HaBeinayim that was raised with regard to the Kometz. And so that, what is the issue? So it's going to be based on a Pasuk. There's a Pasuk that we have on the side of the Gemara. You can see there's a double star where the Pasuk Vayikra Perek Tez Zayin Pasuk Yud Beis is written, and it reads, V'lokach melo hamachto gachalei esh me'al hamizbeach milifnei Hashem u'meloi chafonov Torah samim dako ve'hevi mi'beis laporoche. So in this Pasuk, you have two verbs that we want to emphasize. The beginning of the Pasuk had V'lokach, and he shall take a melo chafonov, and then after the Pasuk said Malo Chafonov, it says Vehevi, and he shall bring it in. So the Gemara points out, the question is in two parts. It's Aleph Odilma Beis, Malo Chafonov Vehevi, Bo'ino Vo'iko. Is the Torah concerned simply with the bringing in of the Malo Chafonov? Issue of intention being secondary. Just as long as your hands are full, bring in the hands full, v'ho'iko, and I will have fulfilled that. Oy dilma, or possibly, v'lokach, v'hevi bo'inon, v'ho'leko. Now, this is very hard to understand in the Gemara itself, but if you look in the Rashi, under the Gemara, we're more or less at the point that we left off before in the Rashi, Rashi says, v'ho'leko. Shemeilov nichnas lebein habinayim v'hu lo niskafein. You see from Rashi that the word velokach in the pasuk implies that you had intention, and when you scoop up your hands full, your intention is for that the incense that is contained within the hands full. You don't intend for incense to creep in between the fingers. So the material that's between the fingers got in there unintentionally. So that amount or that section of the Ketores would not be fit, because according to the Bayes possibility of the question, the Torah wants incense that was gathered with intention, as is expressed by the term velokach at the beginning of the pasuk, velokach vehevi. So the issue of Bein HaBeinayim as being kosher, acceptable as part of the Ketores is left unresolved. Teku. Omar Rav Popo. Pshitali Melo Kumtso Kidakamtsi Inshi. I understand that when the Torah expresses its requirement for a meal offering, here we're going back to meal offering, and it says Melo Kumtso, the way to gather it in your hands is the normal way that people scoop up hands full of flour. And Rashi explains, Kidekamti Inshi, Tsidoi Shel Etzbaoisov Lemata. The side of his fingers is facing downwards. So it's in that hand position where the side of his fingers is facing downwards toward the bowl, and it's in that fashion that you would scoop up the flour. That's the normal way, and that's the proper way of doing a kometz. Boy, Rav Papa, the triangles continue, as we indicated before, questions about the kamitza and chafino procedures. So Rav Papa asks, what about komatz beroshe etzbaosav mahu? If we look in the Rashi, beroshe etzbaosav, pas yodo lamato. the palm of his hand is facing downwards. It's facing over the bowl containing the mincha, the flour, or the meal offering. The tochav espoisov besoiles. And he digs his fingers into the flour, v'komatz koimetz sholem, ad shemile kol oirech pas yodo. And he gathers a handful in that fashion, with the palm of his hand facing downwards. This is different than the kidikamtzi inshi method mentioned just before, with the side of his fingers facing downwards. Here the palm of his hand is facing downwards, and he would then, with the hand positioned that way, then scoop up a handful. The next question, milamato lamalo mahu. And again, we look at Rashi, milamato lamalo. Shofach gav yodo lamato. The back of his hands is facing downwards, facing the flower. Vehelo hakimetz beroshe etzbaosov letoch pas yodo. And being that the back of his hand is facing the flower, he lowers his hands with the tip of the fingers going into the flour, and he curls his fingers up in that fashion, gathering the flour into his hand. Once again, the positioning of the hand is here different than anything we said before. The back of his hand is facing downwards, and he raises the komets with the rosh hashanah, with the tips of his fingers, into raising the flour into his hand. The next question, min hatzdodin mahu, and what's that? So Rashi says min hatzad klomar shelo kederach hakomtzin gav yodo lamato. He's doing this not in the normal way of people that we described earlier, which shegav yodo lamato velo tochav etzbosa besoles. You don't have the back of his hand, you have the back of his hand is facing downwards, but he's not digging the tips of his fingers into the flour. Ela moilich gav yodo bedochak. He's rather skimming the back of his hand over the surface of the flour by at the same time applying pressure, downward pressure. Vasilis nichnas bepas yodo derech etzpaosov. And the and almost like a plow fashion, as he's moving the back of his hand along the surface of the flour in the bowl, the flour enters his hand through the over his fingers. If our description is correct, then it will make it easier to illustrate this, almost as if the hand is working like a plow over the surface of the flour. All of these are questions, but they're not resolved. Teiku, they're left unresolved, whether they would be acceptable methods of getting the handful of flour. Omar Rav Papa, pshitali melo chafonov. Rav Papa says, when it comes to the incense offering, and the Torah says, bring a double hands full, kidachafni inshi, as people would normally scoop up a double handful. And Rashi says at the bottom line, kidachafni inshi, chuda shel pas ayad lamata, the edge of his hand is facing downwards, and he would scoop up a double hands full. What about the other methods, the methods that we mentioned with regard to the komets, the other hand positionings, milamato lamalo mahu? And we saw that before, where the back of his hand is facing, in this case, the incense, and through the tops of his fingers, he gathers the, in this case, the incense into his hands full. Min hatzad mahu, the min hatzad we saw was like that, the plow method. Chofan bezu ubezu v'korvon zu etzel zu mahu. Let's say he took each hand working separately, and then brought his hands together, as opposed to the two hands working in tandem. Mahu, what would the din be then? Teku. This remains unresolved. The next question carries us on up to the the next Daf Gemara. So, in the context of our Daf Yomi Shiurim, this would be a convenient pausing point. Before we close, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our Shiur for today.